This is Skyline Chili Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Skyline Chili. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese coney today. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station. Here are James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Here we are on a beautiful, gorgeous, sunny, bright Halloween day. Mo, what the hell's going on with the weather? The past 3 hours, it went from sunny and just like weird to this. I mean, I've lived in Cincinnati my whole life, so I should be used to it, but I'm still questioning things. What's going on here?
It's raining out. It's ugly
out. It's
dreary. And I hope it's not this way for trick-or-treating.
I hope not. In the forecast, at least last I looked, it was.
Come on.
Can you give us 2 hours?
I rarely, you know, spend a lot of time complaining about the weather, which actually that's not true. But tonight on Halloween, I hope the weather gods, I'm a huge trick-or-treating fan. I believe in letting your kids trick-or-treat. I believe, you know, we talked about this yesterday. You got to be home to give away candy to your kids if you're not trick-or-treating. There's nothing worse, and I can say this from experience, when it's just raining like hell outside and mom or dad says, sorry, you'll have to wait till next year.
Oh, see, I went out in the rain.
But it's
tough.
There was one year where it was horrific, and mom said, we're gonna stay home.
All the candy.
Yeah.
Were you one of those people, and we're going to talk about the Bengals in a second. Were you one of those kids?
Can we just talk about Halloween?
Yes. Were you one of those kids that destroyed their candy within a week, or did your candy hang around?
No, it didn't hang around at all.
Really?
No, it didn't hang around at all.
I was the other way. Like, I would get so much candy, and it would spread out. It would last me for like months. It was probably stale by the time I finished it.
I know we're going to talk about this later, but trick-or-treating for me was a job. That was like, let's go house to house as quickly as possible. No,
yes.
I don't want to come inside and look at your decorations. No, let's go to houses twice. Let's pick the best neighborhoods. Like, that was work. That was a job. And then I would often trade what I didn't like with kids who liked what I didn't like and vice versa. And then I'd load up, but I just would plow through it.
I saw today on Twitter, and I don't know if this is true or not, because how many things on Twitter aren't true.
Right.
But it was a Reese's exchange machine.
Really?
Where you could exchange candy.
Wow.
And Jimmy Sandy's nodding, so I guess that's a real thing.
That's a thing.
Can you imagine being able to exchange whatever for, you know, Reese's or any of their products?
Look, I'm going to beg you, okay? Be a real decent human being. If you're home tonight, don't be one of those people. Don't shut yourself in.
I'm turning all the lights off.
Go in your basement.
Going in the basement playing video games.
Hand out candy.
Video games for me. It's 2 hours of video games.
You're a loser. Hand out candy.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for tuning in today here on ESPN 1530. The trade deadline yesterday came, went. No fireworks like last year with almost trades, which we'll get to 1 year ago today. AJ McCarron almost dealt. We'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes.
The Bengals basically shut themselves in, locked their door, and didn't answer.
That's how it feels.
No trick-or-treating for the Bengals.
Isn't that how it felt?
I hope
we're wrong.
It's probably an unfair characterization, but when you have this franchise's track record, and I think this is where we're going to go now, when you have this franchise's track record, that's what people are going to assume. That's skepticism's earned.
The Bengals don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Correct.
In this, the deadline this year, especially for an organization that 5-7 months ago now, back in March, said, hey, we're in win now mode.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the offseason moves they made showed that.
Right.
I thought so. And they could have doubled down and tried to show it even more, not only, and we've talked about this in recent days, to their players, but also the fans. And instead, fair or not, it feels like they weren't open to it. Now, mm-hmm. maybe they were. Maybe they were close to getting a deal done. We don't know. I haven't heard either way.
Right.
But it feels like they did nothing. And that, to me, is where most Bengals fans are, is, ugh. Same old Bengals. They have all these holes on defense, on offense, where they could add a piece. Mm-hmm. All these different places. And all these contenders from the Eagles to Houston, et cetera, are adding in the Bengals' stand pat.
Yeah, look, I get that that's how it looks and how it feels. And sometimes you are a victim of what your track record is. It's like the feeling we all get at in the fourth quarter when things are going to go poorly for the Bengals. And we all assume, man, I've seen this end. I've seen how this ends.
Yes.
And yet there's been multiple games this year, four of them where you thought, oh, they're going to lose. I've seen this for years, and they figured out a way to win. I mean, everybody felt the same way against Indianapolis, Atlanta, Baltimore, and the game against the Buccaneers. Felt the same way against the Steelers, I guess. But they figure out a way to win, and I go, look, that skepticism is just accumulated through years of being let down. And it's kind of the same thing here. For years, the Bengals have been this franchise behind the times, outdated, not aggressive. They've been more aggressive. But unfortunately, whether it was the right thing to do or not, and I think you could debate the merits of not doing anything if the market just wasn't there, when you don't do anything and you are in a position to be in the playoff hunt, but you're not a finished product and you do have deficiencies and you do have injuries and you don't do anything, it's going to remind people of all those stereotypes that the Bengals have fit into. A non-aggressive team, a passive team, a team that just isn't willing to go for it, a team that's not willing to do what the Rams do or what the Eagles do. Again, what they did yesterday or didn't do yesterday, maybe within the framework of what was offered, what was out there, how they feel about their team, how they feel about their team getting healthier, how they feel about, look, maybe getting one guy doesn't make us that much better. All of that may be very, very understandable. But how it feels and looks, I get it. I get why there's frustration and a little anger with this team's inability, for lack of a better word, to get better yesterday.
Especially because we've seen so many trades.
Right.
Patriots, they went out and got Josh Gordon a couple of weeks ago. They didn't make a move yesterday, but they went out and made a move.
Right. Yeah.
Golden Tate yesterday gets traded to who? The favorites to win the division and the reigning Super Bowl champs, Philadelphia Eagles. The Rams, who are on, at least on paper and so far the best team in the NFL. They go out and get better.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, a favorite to win the AFC South right now.
Yeah.
They go out and get better after, who? A young wide receiver. Their deep threat goes down.
And in every case, I don't think it made any of those teams markedly better. It wasn't like, God, the Rams are okay. Now they're really good. No, no. It's not the NBA. But they got incrementally better.
Sure.
No one deal was going to take the Bengals from, boy, a really competitive division. Maybe they're one of the teams, potential wild card team. No one was going to be like, oh, you know what? 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
No one was going to do that. But neither did those other teams. They just got incrementally better. Baltimore suddenly isn't like the lead dog in the AFC North.
No.
But they're a little bit better.
Sure.
What's wrong with getting a little bit better? That's the pushback I get from some people. It's like, well, you know, was one wide receiver going to make a world of difference? When you are in the crowded middle of the NFL, yeah, maybe. Maybe it does.
With this team that has won and lost a bunch of one-possession games, are you serious? Of course it could make a difference.
This is a league, I think, of increments, where the difference between the top wild card team and a team that goes 6-10, I don't think is that drastic. And so, yeah, I'm looking for little edges. And it's disappointing to me that the Bengals, for whatever reason, couldn't get that edge in the run-up to the deadline.
Especially with every team that did. He's Mo, I'm James. This is Cincy 360. Peter Schrager of NFL Network tweeted this yesterday, and obviously the Eagles, not afraid to wheel and deal. They did last year on their way to a Super Bowl run. They did yesterday on the right before the trade deadline when they added Golden Tate. And Schrager tweeted out a quote from Eagles GM Howie Roseman. It said, quote, "The message to our fans, to our players, to our coaches, to everyone in this organization is our foot's always going to be on the gas." And then, so Schrager quotes that, and underneath it says, "How many GMs and teams are stuck in neutral?"
I know one.
And I think so many fans, and we both tweeted that out. It caught both of our attention. Mm-hmm. So many fans here in Cincinnati view the Bengals as stuck in neutral. It's been the same coach for 16 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the same quarterback since 2011. They say they're in win-now mode, and they have an opportunity in which a league is more willing than ever to deal players.
Yeah.
And they don't take advantage of that. Fair or not, accurate or not, that's the reputation is, oh, Mike Brown isn't doing what he should be doing is due diligence.
Right.
And in that quote there, this organization, the message is everyone in this organization, our foot's always going to be on the gas. No fan believes that about the Bengals.
I think it's also not that it matters to me that much. When you're a fan, it's nice to be acknowledged.
Sure.
There's an acknowledgement if I'm an Eagles fan of me. Now, granted, that franchise has built up in a very short amount of time a lot of equity because they won the whole thing last year, and they have a coach who's very popular and a very good team that has maybe dealt with the dreaded Super Bowl hangover, whether that's real or not, but it feels good as a fan to feel acknowledged. And if you're a Bengals fan, how often have you felt acknowledged? You've usually felt ignored.
Sure.
And I, again, that doesn't matter. in the grand scheme of things when it comes to making decisions or building rosters. I don't want Marvin or Mike or Duke or any of those people to make decisions thinking about me, the fan, first. But I admit that it does feel good when someone says that. And it's the exact – look, the Bengals, Marvin has since January said, we're in win-now mode. We're trying to win now. And part of me goes, okay, you're supposed to say that. You're not going to say with a returning quarterback and a returning core of guys that we're, you know, not trying to win right now.
Yeah.
But what does he always say? I see better than I hear, right? I mean, I quote him all the time on that. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And I think there would have been a feeling of, wow, the Bengals, I watched them just do something that I assumed they weren't going to do. And now, okay, maybe they're not as good as Kansas City, and maybe they're not as good as New England, and maybe they're not as good as Pittsburgh, but there's an effort there, and there's an effort, and they're backing up their words about, hey, we're trying to win now, and instead, we're trying to figure out if this team, as presently constructed, is well-equipped enough to get to the playoffs.
You talked with Paul Daner Jr. of the Cincinnati Enquirer yesterday on the show 3-6, and this entire thing on Mo's blog at ESPN1530.com. Here's Paul on why the Bengals didn't make a move. Is it something they didn't do, in his thoughts, on the Bengals standing pat at the trade deadline?
One, it's not what they do. Two, I would have thought that they would have been more open to adding to their team a little bit more this year, solely for a couple of factors. The injuries that they've had, and a couple positions in particular, tight end, linebacker, the most obvious, everybody knows that, where you would be looking. But it's more than that. It's they have multiple years now of picks that have created the youngest roster, one of the youngest, two youngest rosters in the NFL, and a ton of picks next year. And we wondered how they were going to roster all the guys for this year, and they've had trouble with that. I mean, they had to take the chance of exposing on tape a couple weeks ago, and Lord, you know, we talked about picks that they've let go in the last couple of years. That's only going to get harder because they're not going to lose that many people, but they are going to add a ton more draft picks. So to have all those picks, it would seem to be an opportunity to use one on a player. But the thing about that is, I'm actually a little surprised at what picks are being given for some of these players. You know, I mean, obviously the Amari Cooper madness of giving up a one for him is insane. But you know, we saw a three for Golden Tate. I mean, you're just seeing, I think, higher numbers than you've maybe seen in the past for players. Now, if you start getting into the third and fourth round picks, even, you know, a good five, then I you know, that's one of those where okay, I can understand I'm not doing it. I mean, you look at the success that they've had in those rounds. But if you were able to get away with giving away a six or something, which they're going to have five of next year, I would consider doing that. But that has not kind of been, I think, the feel that I've gotten from them the entire time.
That's Paul Daner Jr., Cincinnati.com. That entire thing on Mo's blog at ESPN1530.com. Here's how I'd counteract that. A three's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at it. A three for Golden Tate is a lot, considering he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Eight games, yeah.
Totally get it.
Right.
At the same time, do you think he's going to be a quality player at the end of the year?
Yes.
So he's going to sign somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the Bengals would trade for him, knowing that they're probably going to extend Tyler Boyd, knowing that they have a bunch of guys coming up. Golden Tate would have walked. He would have been a rental.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a compensatory pick back. Maybe it wouldn't have been a third.
Right.
But maybe it's a fourth,
mm-hmm.
which means moving back in the draft 40 spots,
right.
essentially, a couple years down the line.
For eight games of Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Sign
me
up.
And the playoffs. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the type of win-now move that I think really good and aggressive, and something you said earlier this week is aggressive wins in sports.
It is now.
And that, to me, that is what a great organization does. I'm not the Bengals. I think they're a good organization. I think for the most part,
reasonably
they do
well run. Absolutely,
yes, they're not the Browns. Look up 4 hours north and see a bad organization.
Right.
That being said, they could have gotten better, and I think that would have been a reasonable deal like that. So, rental, a guy like that you bring in, he's going to help you now. And who knows, maybe Ross hits the ground running, or maybe you realize that he's not the guy and you need to draft another wide receiver, but you can still win now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to hurt you that much long term with those picks that they have had a lot of success in the draft.
I'm sorry. When you're the franchise that hasn't won in 27 years, a playoff game in 27 years, and you have a coach who hasn't won a playoff game heading into his 16th season, I think you have to be a little bit more willing than usual to take on a rental like that.
Absolutely.
Like you're like, whether they will admit it or not, the lack of postseason success for this franchise for more than a quarter of a century hovers over everything they do. And you use the term stuck in neutral. To me, it feels like the Bengals, I have this feeling that regardless of the status of the head coach's contract or whatever you say about the structure of ownership or stadium or Andy Dalton's contract, I just have this sense, and I could be proven wrong, and maybe one day I will be given a chance to be proven wrong. I have a feeling that once they get that monkey off their back, winning a playoff game, mm-hmm. that now it's going to be like, all right, here we go. I have that feeling. And I say that unscientifically. I say that having not, you know, ran that past anybody. I just feel like once that's done, okay, now we can move forward like mm-hmm. the rest of the teams. So I put a lot of emphasis on winning that one playoff game.
Sure.
And if acquiring a complementary target, Golden Tate in Detroit, look, the Lions have been a definition of mediocre for a while. Write him down for 90 catches every single season.
Four straight seasons of 90 catches. Every has 44 year. Receptions this year.
Right.
He's just,
like,
yes.
As good as Marvin Jones was last season, Golden Tate still had 1,000 yards. That's a quality player in this league.
No doubt.
Right? I just think if you're this franchise and you haven't won a playoff game in 27 freaking years, you know what? I'll overpay a little bit to give me a better chance of winning that one playoff game. Would it have put him in the Super Bowl conversation? No. They're not there. There was no one move they were going to make.
No.
Unless they were getting Aaron Rodgers, that wasn't going to happen. So, but I feel like when that one thing has eluded you for so long, I'm willing to over. I don't even consider what the Eagles gave up for Golden Tate overpaying.
No, because they're going to get something back.
But if it's framed that way, I would have been okay with it.
Sure.
Now, I'm not in favor of doing bad deals and just handing over the farm. I think Jerry Jones grossly overpaid for Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Not a number one wide receiver. And then you saw what other wideouts were going for. Like, what are you doing? But that wasn't this. I feel like when you're this franchise and you're trying to do that one thing, acquiring a guy like a Golden Tate could have inched them closer to that. And for that sake, I would have done it.
Golden Tate, Demaryius Thomas.
That kind of player, yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
And they're both out there. Houston, probably going to win the AFC South, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
two-game lead.
Their speedster
right.
goes down.
Right.
John Ross is what? Down.
Right.
They go out and they replace him. You know, I mean,
right.
the Eagles, who you could say, all right, we have Alshon Jeffery and mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, and we're the defending Zach Ertz, and we're the right. defending champs. We're going to win the South anyway, the NFC South. No, we're going to go get someone.
Yeah.
Or NFC North, excuse me.
NFC East.
Yeah. Well, either way. We're going to win our division. To me, it's just, why not be aggressive? And it feels like they're stuck in neutral. And it would have been a way to potentially, one, win the division, and two, let's say you don't and you have to go to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They're the three, which I think that would be most likely for them at this point.
At this point, yeah.
They're the three. You're the six. You have to go to Pittsburgh. Who are you trusting more, Mo? And I'm the John Ross guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're trusting number 15, John Ross, or Golden Tate?
I wouldn't trust John Ross to go down the hall and get me a cup of coffee. So, yes.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right. I couldn't agree more.
And it's not like Tate isn't a complimentary piece to Ross if he does work out the final eight games.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They could have both been on the field together.
Yeah, and the whole idea, we talked about this on the afternoon show yesterday, the whole idea of, well, you know, Golden Tate's not a guy who's going to charge down the field. Okay, now, you know, A.J. Green in a walking boot yesterday is far from encouraging, but just figure it out. Like, I'm sorry, any good offensive coordinator, you give them the pieces and you go, okay, here are my strengths, here are my weaknesses. I'm going to figure it out.
Yes.
And you know, Bill Lazor, here's Golden Tate. Just figure yeah. it out.
You're telling me he can't play with Tyler Boyd and A.J.
Right.
Green?
Get out of here.
Can
A.J. Green occasionally take the top off of defense the way he did for 7 years? Yeah, I still think so. I mean, you mentioned it yesterday. Training camp, the answer was yes. So
yes. It's still yes.
It's A.J. Green's.
Yes.
Is he going to do it with the same level of speed that maybe he did in 2012? No. No. Fine. Whatever. Could he still do it better than 99% of the people in the NFL? Sure. So why not try? The point being, for me, just acquire the piece, then figure out how to make it work. For Golden Tate specifically, if he would have been offered to the Bengals, if they would have said, nah, just doesn't fit what we do, as much as I understand that fit matters in sports and in life, I worry about that once I got him.
How does he not fit?
Right. I worry about that
How
once
does he
I got
not
him.
Fit?
Yeah.
And you have a whole bye to figure it out.
Yeah, you got a whole week off.
And here's the thing, because I don't think Marvin makes this call. You don't think Marvin would want to rely on, and Bill Lazor too,
mm-hmm.
have a guy like Tate in that locker room to rely on over.
Did you
1-5?
See the tweet from Jed DeMusi from Channel 12? You know, Marvin Lewis was doing it 4 o'clock yesterday?
Yeah, I saw it.
He was taping his TV show. Mm-hmm. Now, that's fine. That's when they do that. I don't have a problem with that. You think Bill Belichick on 4 o'clock on the day of the deadline is taping a TV show?
No. No, he's not. But that shows, those that think that, oh, Marvin's pulling the trigger on deals, that's not his call.
The optics of that, it was a great tweet by Jed.
Yeah, it
the
was. Optics and he tweeted that, it right at 4.
The optics of that are really terrible. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sorry they are. And again, every coach does that. I'm not saying Marvin shouldn't have a TV show. Dude, can we do this Wednesday morning? Can we do this?
Yeah, what if they had made a deal? Then you're going to have to talk about it on
a
TV show.
I know Marvin's not the guy pulling the trigger on the trades, but I don't know. There's something about a lot of coaches in this league, I think, would be huddling with their personnel people, their general manager, whoever, just, hey, let's be by the phone.
Optics matter.
At the very, very least, let's be by the phone.
Optics matter.
Instead, our guy's taping a TV show, diagramming plays for Gary Miller. Just how that looks,
mm-hmm.
which kind of folds into everything we just talked about. There's how it felt at 4 o'clock yesterday when they didn't make a move. Again, they may have had every reason to not make a trade. Maybe just nobody wanted to do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the asking price was way too – whatever it is. But there's how it feels and how it looks, and it's painfully familiar. And when I try to illustrate to people who don't really understand what it's like to root for this team or talk about this team, they don't understand how this feels. It's not just a team not making a deal. Most teams in the NFL didn't, including a number of them who have a chance to be, you know, bona fide contenders. But when you have this franchise's history, which is so frustrating and hangs over everything they do, when they have a 5-3 football team, a good team, I think this is a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's done to make it better, it just reinforces all of those, you know, frustrations and all that skepticism. That might be unfair, but it's there.
It is. Optics matter a ton. The perception is the reality with a lot of stuff. Part of why we talked about Hugh Jackson a lot this week, part of why he got fired, the optics were that he was a doofus. Right? Hard Knocks did him no favors.
Well, the other day when he's like, why did you call a timeout? Yeah. And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just all these different things that...
He was a doofus.
But you know, like, you could see the dysfunction on Hard Knocks and stuff. Optics there played a role.
Absolutely.
With Marvin, it's the same thing. It feels like the same old Bengals. So can these same old Bengals make the playoffs? We'll discuss that. Plus, do you remember what happened a year ago today?
I went trick-or-treating.
At the deadline. Yeah, Mo went trick-or-treating at 75 years old. That's next on Cincy 360.
Now Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
Welcome back into the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese conies today. Feeling good, it's Skyline time.
I'm going there tonight.
I'm James Erpine. He's Mo Egger. I thought you were trick-or-treating.
I'm trick-or-treating, and then I'm going to Skyline Chili.
That's fair.
I'm starting a new Egger family tradition. Me, my wife, and Crosley. Trick-or-treat, then Skyline. By the way.
Sounds like the best tradition ever.
Just grab me a handful of candy corn from the WBBN studio. Thanks,
oh, is that where that is?
Yeah, big
There's
bag.
Candy corn in there?
It's just a bag. It's probably somebody's personal
there.
Bag.
It's really popular on social media. Happy Halloween, by the
I'm
way.
Here
it's
for
really,
the candy corn.
Really popular on social media to hate on candy corn. I think it's like the trendy thing to do.
Does anybody like anything on social media?
No, it's ridiculous.
Here's my 60-second social media rant. So yesterday, I had a chance, unplanned, to walk around the new Fifth Third Arena, right? Was down there for some football stuff, mm-hmm. and they said, hey, you want to walk around? Yeah, sure. So I took some pictures, and I posted them on my blog at ESPN1530.com, and I put them on social media. And here's been the reaction, okay?
Don't you dare. Really?
Well, there have been people with, you know, Twitter handles like, you know, UC Steve or Bearcat Tony, things like, love the new Fifth Third Arena. And just based on photos alone, think it's college basketball's finest venue. But then I'll get tweets from...
Which is fine. I'm fine with that.
XU Mike and Musketeer Bill. They think the Cintas Center is better. But then I'll get a guy whose Twitter avatar is the NKU Norse mascot thinks BB&T Arena is better. Interesting phenomenon. So then I get this. I get a whole, it looks like it used to. Okay, it's one photo. It doesn't look like it used to. It's entirely different. Once you go and walk around the and then, Rupp Arena's better. So here's my question. When you go to someone's house,
mm-hmm.
do you say, like, oh, it's a nice house, but, you know, mine's better? Or, you know what? This is a decent shed you have, but I was at a house last week. It was better. Like,
I actually know people not that would say that.
Well, there's allowed to be more than one good arena.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
We're allowed to have more than one good place to watch college basketball. It's okay. Like, the Cintas Center is still great. It's not less great because Fifth Third Arena is better. And if you like one as opposed to the other, that's okay. If you love UC basketball, you're probably going to love UC's more. If you love Louisville basketball, the Yum Center, I think, is a fantastic arena. It's not the Yum Center. So if I brought you over to my house, you'd be like, oh, you know what? It's not Kanye West's house. You know what? You're right. Yeah, he probably has a nicer house than I do. Like, it's an arena. It's better. Can it just be that?
I agree with it. It would be like you showing me your new car, which you got recently,
mm-hmm.
and me being like, oh, well, it's no Corvette.
Right.
Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that? And here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm a Xavier fan, and I root for Xavier 364 days out of the year. I make it clear, and UC fans hate that I say that.
Yeah.
But if I'm a Xavier fan, of course I want UC to have a better arena. So then when I go watch the Crosstown Shootout, and it's in Clifton.
Yeah.
It's a better venue.
Yeah.
It's a better experience.
Yes.
It looks better on TV if I'm not going to the game. Like, upgrading arenas for anyone. I would love for the Cintas Center to keep improving
yes.
if I'm a UC fan.
Which it did. Yes.
It did. Absolutely.
We're allowed to have more than one good arena. I mean, it's okay. Like, it's a lot. But just because UC's is better, you might still love yours. That's okay. I'm probably going to love UC's more because I'm a Bearcat fan.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's fine. It's unbelievable. If we're at that level of pettiness already, you know what? I'm sitting out the college basketball season.
Did you get any Ohio State fans like, oh?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Value City?
Oh,
is it still
yeah.
Value City up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Value City Arena.
The Schottenstein Center.
Yeah.
You know, it still looks like it's the same place. Got black seats. Don't look that good. Okay, it's pictures on my Instagram, man. Like, what are we doing?
Why do you got to make people mad?
I just can't. We're already at this level of pettiness. This season hasn't even started.
You know, I was happy, sad, mad, annoyed, and a bunch of other emotions last year on Halloween. You remember what happened last year outside of you trick-or-treating?
Yeah, I do.
Trade deadline comes and goes. It doesn't feel like the Bengals are going to do anything. And then Adam Schefter tweets out that the Bengals and Browns were this close.
Yeah.
To trading and agreeing to coming to terms with an A.J. McCarron to Cleveland trade for a second and third round pick. I was mad because I'm the draft guy and I would love more draft picks to play with.
Well, I was mad because I'm a Bengals fan going, that'd be kind of nice.
That would have been amazing to have. Yeah. You think maybe they would have used those on. No, I don't even want to get into that. But anyways, yes, dealing A.J. McCarron. And he would have gotten his shot. And since then, what's happened to A.J. McCarron?
Nothing.
Went to Buffalo. He had a cup of tea in Buffalo. Gets traded to Oakland, which is awful. And A.J. McCarron is now so irrelevant in the football scene. Like, I know he's Derek Carr's backup.
He's irrelevant.
But, man.
Derek Carr is almost irrelevant.
I feel bad. He had his shot.
I do.
He had a shot last year in Sashi Brown and the Browns. There was a bunch of different angles to this. One is Sashi Brown might have sabotaged it and said, hell no, we're not doing this. Others are the Browns didn't know how to file paperwork. Whatever the case may be, the deal didn't get done. And since then, McCarron's kind of suffered for it.
That would have been reason number one to fire Hugh Jackson because he was pushing for it.
Sure.
Hey,
he wanted a quarterback.
He wanted A.J. McCarron after helping say no to Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. He wanted A.J. McCarron, and he wanted the front office to send a two or a three. I'd love to find out if sabotaging it was intentional, not intentional. Think about the last calendar year, because I was really happy for A.J. McCarron because I wanted to see it. For years, you'd have had those A.J. McCarron sycophants who I don't hear from much anymore. Do you? Yeah, we've got that phone call in a while. But anyway, I for years, I'd hear these A.J. McCarron sycophants going, you win a Super Bowl with A.J. McCarron. Just wait till he's a starter.
You know why?
And I knew it was never going to happen here.
It factor.
Right. It was never going to happen here. And so I wanted a clear answer to the question, knowing it wasn't going to happen here. Can A.J. start? I loved what he did in 2015. I thought he handled himself. He had, I think, one of the most significant moments of the season last year when the walls are closing in on Andy Dalton, and he said, hey, man, get off his back. And I remember at the time going, like, it took the backup quarterback to say that. So I wanted him to get a shot, and he was on the verge. And I'm like, great, he's going to play the rest of the season for the Browns. They're still going to be terrible, but at least he could play and put some stuff on tape and answer some questions and, hell, maybe be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get that shot. So now he hits free agency. And for years, like, wait till A.J. McCarron hits free agency. The rest of the league is going to be drooling. Well, Kirk Cousins was a free agent, and Case Keenum was out there.
It was the most flooded free agent market for quarterbacks in NFL history.
You had a draft class with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and it was a terrible bit of timing for AJ.
It was the worst timing.
But he still gets a shot in Buffalo, who's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they're drafting Josh Allen, but they're probably not going to start him in week one. And Nathan Peterman's also there, but he's god-awful, so AJ's going to get a shot. And then he got hurt.
And he was probably leading that based on me looking at it from afar. I think he might have started at least for a couple weeks and gotten a chance.
Maybe.
Which in Buffalo, how much of a chance is that?
And then they send him to the Raiders, who are a bad team. Bad team. And if there's one place, if you're agent, you're looking to go to a bad team, mm-hmm. Good team, probably has a good quarterback and not going to play. Except the Raiders are the one bad team that has pretty good quarterback. So he's on a terrible team backing up a good quarterback. The Raiders are irrelevant. It's not like AJ could be a backup on a winning team and maybe get a ring. No, he's in Oakland on that train wreck of a franchise behind a guy that they paid a lot of money to and is not going anywhere. The last 365 days for him have to be maddening.
Maddening. And here's the crazy part about it. How many quarterbacks in league history, the past two decades, would have said, damn, I wish I would have gotten sent to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Zero, besides
mm-hmm.
AJ McCarron.
AJ McCarron.
Like, in hindsight, man, what a missed opportunity. Because he would have gotten a shot.
Yeah.
He would have gotten a coach that believed in him,
yep.
Which how important is that?
Yep.
He would have gotten eight games.
Mm-hmm.
If you're AJ McCarron, you are never going to get that.
Right.
I mean, even if, let's say, Derek Carr goes down this week, it's not like Gruden thinks you're the guy.
Right.
So you're not getting the shot. You thought you were the guy. And
right.
As wrong as he might have been, that's your best opportunity.
Yeah, we were happy for him. Like, I remember sitting in this room a year ago today going, you know what, good for A.J. McCarron. If the Browns can get this deal done, good for A.J. McCarron. He's going to get a shot, and now it's up to him to make the most of it, and I hope he does. I really do root for him. As much as I make fun of the people who, he's a franchise quarterback, no, he's not. But I'd love to see him get a chance to prove me wrong, and I thought he was going to get that chance, whether it was in Cleveland. I thought he'd get somewhat of a shake in Buffalo. That didn't happen. He is not going to get it in Oakland. But it's one thing if, all right, you're backing up Derek Carr, and they're 5-3 or whatever, and they're in the – no, they're maybe the most irrelevant franchise in the National Football League
And they're
right
trading
now.
Away their good players and rebuilding.
Right.
And he's under contract for next year, by the way.
But they're not trading away Carr.
By the way, agreed. And you know what? If I was Jacksonville, and I heard Dan Patrick this morning talk about how Jacksonville was in the market for a quarterback, that would have been a call I made. And I know A.J. McCarron isn't this great quarterback, but could he come in there and stabilize things a little bit for a Jaguars team that things are spinning out of control on this year?
Yeah.
Instead, they signed Landry Jones.
Right.
How's that going to work out?
But I think what you're getting once and for all is, I mean, the league is telling you what A.J. McCarron is.
Yeah.
As much as we're rooting for him and we want to see him get a shot, like, they're telling you what A.J. McCarron is.
And the other thing, the Bengals and A.J. McCarron both lost when he won his grievance.
Yes.
He goes into a flooded quarterback market that wouldn't have been nearly as bad this upcoming year.
Right.
The Bengals then have to scramble a little bit. They sign Matt Barkley, who, come on, and end up with Jeff Driskel, which is, I think, ideal for them. But that's still, I think they would have loved to have A.J. McCarron for one more year because of the stability he brings. So
yeah.
It's just, it's quite interesting.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, just that last calendar year, I mean, even when the deal fell through, people were like, oh, you know what? He'll hit free agency. He'll be fine. And you and I were both like, well, wait a minute. Look at this. Look at what they're saying about the draft class.
Yeah.
And look at who else could be a free agent.
There's like eight quarterbacks.
Like,
it's just, oh God!
Some timing matters.
It matters
because
so much.
There are years where there would have been nobody else out there, and AJ would have gotten a deal.
Mike
and a shot to be
Glennon
a starter.
Got paid.
Yeah,
Mike
yeah.
Glennon.
Yeah,
I think AJ would have gotten paid most years.
It's time to play buy, sell, hold on Cincy 360.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. Let's play buy, sell, hold. Mo, we talked about the trade deadline. The Bengals didn't make a move. Buy, sell, hold. that they're going to make the playoffs as they're presently constructed.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to talk everybody off the ledge.
Woo!
They're 5-3. They're right now holding a playoff spot. Baltimore's a little bit better. Here's what's going to happen this week. Either Baltimore or Pittsburgh is going to lose because they play each other. Okay. So they're either going to gain a half game on Pittsburgh or gain a half game on Baltimore. The Ravens might be 4-5 by the end of this weekend. It feels to me, regardless of what happens there, forget the division for just a second. There's basically two spots up for grabs and three teams I think that can get them. Cincinnati, Baltimore, who's still just 4-4, and the Chargers. Yes, Houston got better. They have a two-game lead in that division. I'm sorry, I'm not buying the fact that the Indianapolis Colts, who are playing well, and Andrew Luck is back, even though nobody really seems to be paying attention. I don't buy that they're a playoff team. I don't buy that Jacksonville's a playoff team. They're imploding. Tennessee, no thanks. Nobody in the AFC East. The Dolphins have come back to earth. They've lost 4 out of 5. Not Buffalo, not the Jets. Where's the competition going to come from? And as much as a lot of teams got better yesterday, most of them are in the NFC. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think this is still, I said they were going to go 9-7. I still believe they go 9-7. I think 9-7 gets them in as the 6 right now. I do not think they win the division, but none of the other potential wildcard teams wow me all that much. And Baltimore, yes, Ty Montgomery helps. They've lost 3 out of 4. They got blown out by Carolina last week. That vaunted defense looked anything but. I think they lose to Pittsburgh this week. I think the Bengals are still a playoff team.
I don't blame you for feeling that way. I'm going to hold this, though. This is an offense that 6 out of its last 8 quarters has scored a whopping 13 points against 2 really bad defenses. The defense is on an historically awful pace, and I don't know who they're getting back. Is Billy Price an upgrade from Trey Hopkins?
No, but he might be an upgrade from Alex Redmond.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
But they're not going to do that.
And Redmond, exactly. And Redmond had a good game the other day. Giovanni Bernard, are they going to use him effectively with Joe Mixon? He's certainly an addition. Mm-hmm. It certainly helps you. Will Bill Lazor do that, or will we be at least discussing his play calling in his strategy? I'm not sure. There's just so many question marks from injuries. Perfect. Darquez Dennard, Nick Vigil. If this team wasn't as banged up, then I would buy it because I thought they were 9-7 going into the year. That said, who's their next game? New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Who's after that? Baltimore. You could easily, and I mean easily, be 5-5.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
New Orleans might be the best team in football.
Might be.
I mean, they're really good.
Better defensively, if you watched on Sunday night, better defensively than people realize.
Yep, and then you go to
Which
Baltimore.
Which they were last year, too.
If you split one of the two, then I'm buying. You know, yeah. And Andy stays healthy and Green stays healthy. He's in a boot. They're just reeling. They limped into the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I want to say, and I said it on Monday, a win is a win is a win is a win. 5-3 limping.
Can we retire that phrase?
Hopefully they're jogging in a couple weeks when they play New Orleans instead of limping like they were at the end of Tampa Bay. So I want to buy it. At the beginning of the year, I had them at 9-7. I do think I agree with you. 9 wins probably gets them in. The next 2 weeks are huge, though. Get one of two.
I agree with you. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if this team is 5-5. The reason I buy it is basically they have a better record than everybody else chasing them, and nobody chasing them really got that much better. I think Baltimore got a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that adds a dynamic with Ty Montgomery.
It adds a dynamic, but it's a quarterback who hasn't been good in forever. It's an uninspiring offense. People are talking about Harbaugh being blown out. Who behind him got better? I think the Chargers are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers.
That's one of your wild card teams.
That's a wild card team.
Either the Chargers or the Chiefs,
right.
Whoever doesn't win
the West, right? Denver, no. Just gave up a very good offensive player. Their defense is getting by on reputation only.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is good in the AFC? So the Bengals have a lead over everybody else, and even though the Bengals didn't get better, nobody else really did either. So that's why I'm buying it. But I'm not buying it with a degree of confidence. I'm not buying it with, like, my life savings.
And it's clear that neither of us are picking them to win the division. So, Mo, buy, sell, hold that the Bengals would have been the favorites in the AFC North had they landed and traded for yesterday a Golden Tate who ended up in Philly or Demaryius Thomas who ended up in Houston.
I'm gonna sell that because while the characters always change, the results against the Steelers stay the same. And week 17, the Bengals go to Heinz Field. I would bet if the Bengals are division hopefuls that game means something, even though the tiebreaker is not going to come into play unless the Bengals tie. And while the participants change, the result stays the same. Pittsburgh always beats the Bengals, so they have a leg up. The Bengals are already looking up at them in the division. Pittsburgh has seemingly put all that drama from earlier in the year behind them. Le'Veon Bell, I guess, could still come back. James Conner's playing very well. That offense is starting to click. So I don't think I would have felt better about their chances. But if you're asking me to pick one of the teams in the division who's going to win, I would pick the team currently in first place.
See, I would have bought it because I think Golden Tate and or Demaryius Thomas.
Well, and would have been a different story.
Or Demaryius Thomas. One of the two. Yeah. Yeah, if you're getting both. Correct. You get one of those two guys. Both are Super Bowl champs. Demaryius Thomas played in two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. They've been, at one point or another, the number one wide receiver on their respective teams at times during their career. They'd have to come here and be the three.
Yeah.
That's a good place to be in. And I think then you're talking about a couple weeks to get them caught up. Might not have had a huge impact against New Orleans. But when you have to go to Pittsburgh week 17, those guys have been tested.
Right.
Demaryius Thomas got the game-winning touchdown at Pittsburgh. I believe it was at Pittsburgh from Tim Tebow. Remember that in the playoffs in the wild card round? They've been tested. They wouldn't have to be the guy like they've been in their careers in the past. So, yeah, I think if you would have brought a guy like that in, this offense could potentially, now the offensive line wouldn't have been there, but could have been just as productive, if not more productive, than they were in 2015. And so I would have bought it because I think the Steelers have – they're leaking too. I just think they're the best of the AFC North, which no one really stands out as great. So I think one of those two pieces could have gotten them over the hump into a division title. Because really, what it is we both think they could get 9 wins as presently constructed.
Right.
Could Golden Tate and, or I keep saying and or Demaryius Thomas have made that 9 of 10?
Yeah.
They could have potentially done that.
I just still think the Steelers have the better team and they have a lead in the division. If they're playing from, you know, both the same spot and Cincinnati gets better, then I'll give the nod to them. But the Steelers have a better record right now. And I think right now they have a better team, and I'm not sure Golden Tate by himself closes that gap, but I would feel better.
I would have loved to see it.
That LSU, who is number 3 in the first college football playoff rankings, should be ahead of Notre Dame in the initial rankings that came out last night.
Yes, I buy. Who's LSU played?
6 teams with winning records.
Okay, who's Notre Dame played?
Stanford beat number 5 Michigan. They've played, I believe, they've won 3 games against teams with winning records. They haven't lost.
I get it. I absolutely get that. I'm totally fine with LSU being ahead of Notre Dame here. That doesn't, it's not like Notre Dame is 6th. They're 4th.
Right.
They're in the college football playoff. They're undefeated. It's fine. I'm not in the business of overreacting to week 1 of the college football rankings. Would it make a damn bit of difference if they were 3rd right now versus 4th?
No.
That's why it's like, is LSU really, really good so far?
Well, that's why I'm going to hold it.
Yes.
Because I want to find out what happens when LSU plays Alabama this weekend.
It's fair. Do you think they have a shot?
No. Buy, sell, hold.
Does anyone have a shot against Bama?
No. Speaking of the rankings, Kentucky ahead of Ohio State, as we predicted yesterday in the college football playoff rankings. Buy that the Wildcats should be ahead of the Buckeyes.
Today, I buy it. They have one loss, and it's a better loss than what Ohio State has. Purdue. Did UK go to a Purdue or play a Purdue team and get blown out?
No.
Or any team equivalent to Purdue?
The game they lost was overtime to a ranked Texas A&M team that if Eddie Grant, the former UC offensive coordinator, knew what he was doing, Kentucky would have won.
So, agree there. But to me, it's very simple. And it'll be interesting to see. One is playing for the SEC this weekend. You know? Ohio State, it's still in front of them. But yeah, if Georgia handles their business against UK, which I expect them to, then Ohio State fans aren't going to have to worry about this. But they were up in arms about it yesterday. It's not a big deal.
Well, they're going to have to worry about it because they still have to play Michigan, and that's going to be a great game. I buy a totally simple reason. They beat Mississippi State, ranked, beat Florida, ranked, and they have a better loss, if you want to call a loss better.
Florida on the road.
Yeah, Ohio State was nearly a 2-touchdown favorite against Purdue, and while Jeff Brohm has that program on the rise, the Buckeyes were supposed to win that game. Instead, they got absolutely blown out. Kentucky on the road against Texas A&M went to overtime. They should have won the football game. So, yeah, I totally buy it. Obviously, Kentucky has a chance to take a major step forward with a win over Georgia on Saturday. Buy, sell, hold.
Oh.
That the Reds made the right decision, if it was indeed theirs, to not bring Jim Riggleman back and keep him around as the bench coach.
Buy. Why bring in, you talked about dynamic yesterday and relationships and things like that throughout a coaching staff with Hugh Jackson if he was potentially brought back for the Bengals. Why would you, if you're the Reds, consider doing that with David Bell? Like, you just don't want any awkwardness. You don't want to risk it. Is Jim Riegelman such a great bench coach that you have to bring him back?
I have no idea what a great bench coach is.
Exactly. So if he's replaceable, why even risk an awkward dynamic when you're trying to turn the page here and really flip the script from what has been a four-plus-year rebuild that doesn't have an end in sight with this new manager, and you hope the end comes sooner rather than later?
Yeah.
Why stay in the past? I don't blame him one bit. I would have moved on, and it's just – if he wasn't going to be the manager, why would he hang around?
Yeah, I'm with you there. For his sake, if I was him, I just wouldn't want to do it. I'm going to work right next to the guy who has the job that I had and won. I'm not going to do that. From a Red standpoint, I buy it. Number one, I don't think the human dynamic would have been as big a deal as with the Bengals, because I don't think Jim Riegelman has Hugh Jackson's ego. But I think if you're David Bell, I would imagine his first choice isn't Jim Riegelman. And while the Reds are collaborating on what the coaching staff is going to look like next year, I want David Bell to make those determinations. I want him, I want his guys to get first crack at the gig. If he has a bench coach in mind or a staff in mind, I want those guys to be given dibs ahead of anybody else who's already been here. So I buy it.
Last one here, Mo. Buy, sell, hold that Halloween should last from 6 to 9 like it used to in the old days instead of 6 to 8 like it does present day.
Halloween should last from about noon to 10 o'clock at night. As many hours of trick-or-treating as possible. I don't remember. I'm 41 years old. I don't remember growing up where, like Halloween had an end time. It was just kind of like, oh, you know what? Those people are old. They go to bed at 8:30, so we're not going there. But that guy's up. Let's go to his house. So, yeah, I'm in favor of as many hours of trick-or-treating as possible. Totally buy it. Should be 6 to 9.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I remember the days of getting the giant bag of candy that would last for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
And I want kids to experience the same thing. Much harder to do. One, in the rain. I hope the rain stops.
Yeah.
Two, 6 to 8. That's 33%, Mo.
Most importantly, because I'm an
adult. Extend it.
I agree. Most importantly, because I'm an adult, open container laws should be suspended for trick-or-treating. Want to walk around with, you know, something to kind of keep me warm while I'm taking the kid out.
Covered.
Trick-or-treating.
Covered. You're not walking around in a solo cup.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you're not putting it in a, you know, any, no, really?
Yeah. I'm not going to walk around with a bottle of bourbon.
No, but you put it in one of those cups that'll keep it cold.
Yeah.
No?
I'm a solo cup.
Insulated cup?
No.
Why not?
Because?
You want the rain getting in it? You put a lid on that thing?
Figure out a way.
You have a solo cup lid?
I've been doing this for a long time, James. I know all the workarounds.
You're going to put a napkin and a rubber band around it and then poke a hole in it with a straw?
I'm not an amateur, okay? I've
like you're really
going to
use the napkin lid?
I've been doing this for a while.
The napkin lid?
It's called a hand. We're good.
You ready for me to make you mad?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know how you're a big waffle guy?
I'm a big pancake guy.
You like waffles too,
I do like waffles.
I had Eggos yesterday.
That's fine.
You just, I know you like making your own. I thought you were going to.
No, I like making my own pancakes.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Never mind then.
Waffle, fine.
I thought of you. I was like, man, I'm going to make Mo mad on the show. Maybe not. We have breaking NBA news.
You know, if you go to.
Plus FC Cincinnati news.
To my Instagram, you could see the kind of breakfast I whip up for my kid. We don't just pour a bowl of cereal. You know, here you go, kiddo. I'm going to go. No, look right there. Eggs over easy, some toast, some sausage, some bananas.
I'll be there tomorrow at 8 a.m.
She's a year and a half old. She ate like two bites. But yeah, I bring it to the kitchen, man.
I'll be there at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Breaking NBA news, FC Cincinnati news, and more. Quick hits are next on Cincy 360.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
It is the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. Skyline Chili, three-way, cheese coney. Sounds amazing right now. Stop in for one or both. Feeling good, it's Skyline time. It's time for Quick Hits.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. Have water damage or need your carpets clean? Maybe a flooded basement has left a mess. Go to RumpkeRestores.com. He's Mo Egger. I'm James Erpine. Let's dive into it. We have breaking NBA news. Real quick, Shams Charania of Stadium in the Athletic. Did you see he switched from Yahoo? Anyways, reporting Jimmy Butler going to sit out for the next 6 weeks and hoping to get traded.
Jimmy
here.
Butler was the guy saying there's no leadership on this Timberwolves team. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing what a star player does, which is be a leader, he's going to sit
out. He wants out. Is this the Le'Veon Bell thing?
No, because Jimmy Butler, it doesn't appear that this is really about money. He told Rachel Nichols, this is, well, the team needs leadership, blah, blah. Provide it. Provide it. Mm-hmm. You're the star. You're the alpha.
He is the best player on that team.
Provide it.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't disagree. I think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Minnesota trades him. They don't have to.
Nope.
They don't have to, so it'll be interesting how that plays out. FC Cincinnati's new brand identity and their new crest will be unveiled November 12th in OTR.
Don't call it a logo.
Hey, it's their new crest.
It's a logo. I can't wait to see it.
It's a soccer match.
I'll buy stuff with it. I'm not calling it a crest.
It's the Bailey. This not the section.
This isn't the fan section. This isn't one of those fraternities where they give you a jacket and it's got a crest on it.
It is.
It's a logo.
It's FC Cincinnati. It's called branding. New brand identity and crest, November 12th. Gary Clark finished with 11 points yesterday and 4 rebounds. He was 3 of 7 from three-point land for the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are 1 and 5. Gary Clark, second best player on the team.
Sure, we'll go with that. The thing is,
he is in Cincinnati.
He's making threes from like Steph Curry range. Made a 29-footer last night. Another one, I think, from like 25, 26 feet. He's like hitting shots that you're like, Gary. I mean, we all knew he had a good, smooth stroke and was never really asked that much to shoot threes. He shot him at a really high rate here, but he's making shots and spots on the court that you were like, dude, Gary, where was that? Unfortunately, the Rockets are terrible. I still think it makes sense to send him to the G League just to get him a lot of minutes because he's still basically playing garbage time, but Gary Clark, Mike D'Antoni said it. He's going to make a lot of GMs wonder, why didn't I take that guy?
Yeah, here's the thing with Gary. We both think he's a smart basketball player, right?
Extraordinarily.
Well, the NBA's about threes. The dude was clearly in the gym working on his three. Mm-hmm. He knows he could rebound and play defense. Mm-hmm. The key to him sticking, shooting, and so far he's done that in the preseason and so far this year. Ohio State coach Urban Meyer said he's dealing with aggressive headaches and he has a cyst on his brain.
I hope he gets okay. I hope things work out for him. He has not. A lot of people have pointed out his behavior and demeanor on the sideline, and is it related to any issue that might exist between him and the athletic department, or you know anything like that? The suspension, obviously, if it's health related, I obviously hope that he turns out to be okay. That Buckeye team, so many issues revealed themselves against Purdue. It's going to be interesting now, coming off the bye, to see what sort of team and what sort of coach emerge.
Yeah, it will certainly be interesting. Real quick, let's go up to Buffalo, where two former Bengals have signed with the Bills. Terrell Pryor signed there yesterday. Matt Barkley expected to sign today.
I wonder, well, people have said, look, just make Terrell Pryor the quarterback. I wonder who would be a better quarterback, Terrell Pryor, Matt Barkley, Nathan Peterman, or the guy who threw the sex toy out onto the field the other night.
Yeah, how about that? By the way, he got arrested for it.
He's in jail.
In Buffalo still. Hope. Unable to leave?
Just, if you're going to throw the sex toy on the field, just, it's like hitting send on Twitter. Should I do this?
Don't press send.
Is this a good idea?
I wonder if it was accurate. I didn't see the throw.
Well, I mean, hit the field. He's throwing it from right behind the end zone.
Was he throwing it at someone or just?
No, he just threw it out there onto the field.
Oh, okay. Well, so, he got his 5 minutes of fame. I would
take that guy ahead of Nathan Peterman and probably Terrell Pryor.
Mo back at it today at 3:05.
Matt Barkley.
I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening
today.
Just
settle Kaepernick's collusion suit now.
The Stephen A. Smith Show is next on ESPN 1530.